Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord. Thank you that we can come to your word. Thank you, Lord, that as we come, Lord, and you minister to us, Lord, that we can receive wisdom, understanding. Lord, we can receive direction in our life. And we, Lord, can receive your blessings above all. We thank you for that. Open our eyes, open our ears, touch our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, today I'm going to be talking about, about faith in the heart. That lots of time people make it like something that God has to do. And it's not the truth. Faith in our heart is a decision we had to make about what we believe. And a decision that we have to hold firm to without being wavered, without being confused, without being tossed around by the things that are around us. Now, we have been talking about how to receive God's promises. Okay. And everything that we receive from God has to happen by faith. God is not moved by any other things. God is pleased by our faith, by believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we had to put ourselves in the position to please him so that he can bless us, because that is his desire. His desire is for us to connect with him, to worship him, as says in John 24, 23 and following verses, okay, to worship him in spirit and in truth. That has some important implication. It's not that we come in contact by the things we do physically. God is a spirit. And as a spirit, the only way to come in contact with a spirit is with our spirit. The problem we have is we are not in contact so much, so well, with our spirit. So we had to learn to do that. And this is where, really the fact that we had to worship him in spirit and in truth means that, we had to really connect with him, not by the things we do in our body, but what is going on inside ourselves. We can go through all the motions, all the shows that you want to put together, and that does not impress God. God doesn't look at the external appearance. God looks at the heart. So, the heart is where between our spirit and our soul. And that part there has to be lined up, has to be directed, has to be in truth. We can fool ourselves, we can fool other people, you can fool your pastor, you can fool anybody. But you cannot fool God. He knows everything, about everything, about you and everybody else. We can grasp that idea with our mind because we're not too bright. No matter what our IQ is. Okay. But he can handle the whole, how many billions are around? He knows about everything, about everybody, and it's not a problem. He remembers everything. Now, it would be nice to have a better memory, and I, can put like that. But we have to take what we have and do the best of it. And this is the reason why he gave us the Bible, so that we can see, look, this is our living life manual by what into which we can operate, we can learn, we can have direction, and It didn't stop to that. He gave us also the Holy Spirit, if we are born again. And the Holy Spirit works on everybody, but especially when we have established a relationship with God. And this is really the most important thing that we can do. When we have that relationship with God, the implication, see, that relationship has an effect on what we do, our walk. We walk when we are in spirit and in truth, and we have a relationship with Him, then we are walking in the things that we know we should be doing, because we are connected with Him. He directs us. He shows us things that we need. He affects the way we feel and affects the results we have. See, He wants us, okay, to be successful in the things we do, because He is not a failure Himself, and He wants us to be His representative. He wants us to be successful, and there are so many scriptures in the Bible talking about that. Okay, but He wants us, okay, to have a good life. A life that is much better than anything we can have in any other way. Unfortunately, the religion hasn't been communicating that very well. Made in God, like somebody that is there peeking at you and making sure that if you don't do the things that are right, He's there to blast you away. That's the farthest things that you can think compared to what the Bible says. This is absolutely, God has planned for each one of us, and are good plans. Okay. He's a planner. He plans our life. You see, for example, in 1 John 1:4 says something that I want to read to you. It says, "And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete." You know, a lot of time people think, you know, to be a Christian, you have to go around with a sour face. It's a lie that the enemy is being very clever about putting in the mind of people. This is absolutely a lie. And we have to understand that instead He wants us that our joy be complete. That means, you know, full, complete, perfected. Okay. And there are so many scriptures. I mean, the whole Bible is full of scripture reinforcing that idea. But generally, you know, we look at the problem rather than, you know, all the things that are negative, and we forget the good things. Okay. 3 John 1:2, I quote that all the time. You know, beloved, I wish that I pray, this is another translation. I pray that all may be well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Other translations said, you know, I want you to be prosperous and be healthy, even as your soul prospers. The key thing is, you know, we look at the physical thing and shoot for the physical. Our goal becomes the physical part, prosper and be healthy. When instead, that's not the part that's going to give us the power. This is the way the world does it. What we have to do and understand is when our soul prospers, the other things are going to be in place. They are going to be in place automatically without you doing any effort, because our soul is receiving direction from Him, and that direction is going to make you walk in a certain way that is going to produce health and prosperity and well-being. This is His plan. See, this is why it says, and for example, see, one of the things we have to understand is that if we don't believe that, we are not going to trust God. Because we are going to think, you know, He's going to take away our toys. That's not the way He works. He instead wants to bless us. You know, Proverbs 3:5 is something that we should memorize. We should memorize it and keep it in front of us all the time. Okay. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Can you say, trust the Lord with all your heart? You know, what does it mean? That we really trust him. You know, we have no question, no doubt in our mind. We are completely assured and confident that we can trust him because he's faithful. Okay? And continues, says, you know, and do not lean on your own understanding. What do you think that means? Do you think that means you have to go around like, I don't know anything? No. You know, if you can count on your understanding because your understanding is limited. God understands much more than you do. And so, you know, if you base yourself on the things that you know already, you're going to stay the way you are now. And maybe even do worse. Okay? Instead, what we had to do is to realize that we can trust him and he's going to guide us in the right way so that we are going to have the right result. We are going to be successful. He's faithful to what he says, to his promises. Okay, so, you know, continue. You know, all you, I just read that because this should be ministering to us, should be strengthening us, should be giving us confidence. Okay, says, you know, in all your way, acknowledge him. Say, you know, recognize, you know, get his direction and so on. And he will make you straight, make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Again, repeat the same thing. You know, it's not your wisdom. It's his direction that counts. Okay. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You know, and I will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Hallelujah. See, this is the promises. These are some of the promises. And these promises are not just said in one place, are all over the place in the Bible. Okay. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruit of your produce. And then your barn will be plant with plenty and your vats will be by bursting with wine. I mean, if you don't have, you know, barns and stuff like that, that means, you know, your business is going to go well. Whatever you do. Okay. So, if we follow his direction, he's going to be guiding us to be successful. And if we are not successful, it's because we have not been listening to him. But this is depending on one factor. The critical factor is our soul that has to be prospering, that has to be established in the right principle, the right idea. And our soul includes, you know, everything that is inside us, your thoughts, your intellect, then, you know, your decisions, your desires, your emotions, your will, you know, and your heart, which is the deeper part inside. All these things had to be directed and aligned to the Word of God. And when those things are there and have been aligned, you know, and that is what we do, that is the renewal of the mind. You know, when you renewed our soul, then you can expect without effort. It's not effort. It's effortless to get God to move for us. We don't need to be there begging him about things. We have to be there thanking him because he has provided everything that we need. It's a completely different approach than religion says to us, because that religion is not what Jesus came to give us. He came to give us a relationship with the Father, the way he had it. Now, he can, when we get to the place in which we are assured of our relationship with God without wavering, then we can be assured that we are undefeatable. We can be, because God is working for us. He is protecting us. He is directing us. He is telling what to do. And whatever we do it under his direction, and it's going to be okay. Now, you know, when there is conflict inside us, different feeling pulled in different direction, then there is not that assurance. There cannot be that assurance, because one moment you believe I had to do something, the next moment you believe you had to do something different. That's not a position of doing, becoming, overcoming, of becoming able to deal with every situation you have. Anytime that there is confusion in our mind, anytime that there is, you know, not knowing what to do, we are not in the position to do anything. We are not in the position to be overcomers. We are not in the position to know and to get the result that we want. Evidently, we had to know what we want, but hopefully it's the right thing, because otherwise God is not going to be backing us up. Okay? So the idea is, you know, and it's very simple. When we don't know the thing we have to do, is simply ask. That's what the Bible says. Ask and shall be given. Knock and so on. You know, doesn't matter. You just ask until things become clear. We need to not just jump blindly into things, but we need to ask for direction to the one that knows everything. And he said that to us. I mean, it's, you know, James chapter 1, verse 5 says very clearly, if anyone lack wisdom, wisdom is the ability to know what to do in the situation we are in. Okay? The wisdom is not just a question of knowing everything. It's a question of knowing what to do right now in your situation. And says, you know, if you lack wisdom, if you don't know what to do, okay, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. I mean, we have to believe. You see, if you don't believe that God's going to tell you anything, you're not going to ask, and you're going to do your own thing. And quite likely, you're going to fail. Or you're not going to be in the optimal position for yourself. So you start by doing what he's saying here. He's give to everybody, to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So he says he's going to get it. But, and this is the but that we have to consider, but let him ask in faith. That means believing that he's going to get the answer. Okay. With no doubting. That's reinforced the idea. You know, if you're there doubting, wavering, and so on, what happens? For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Well, they go back and forth, get nowhere. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's pretty clear. So we had to know, what we had to make sure is that when we ask, we believe it, and we stand there, and we don't let. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you get it immediately. Are you going to get it? So you had to be patient to receive it. And where patience does is actually, you know, strengthen your faith. Give us power to your faith. This is where you get the muscle. It's like, you know, you are want to develop a muscle and you put the muscle under tension for some time until the muscle responds, but you have to give the time for the muscle to grow, to get strength. You don't expect a moment, you know, you're skinny and without muscle, and you say, I'm going to release this big weight. It's not going to work. We try to do, we wouldn't think to do that in the physical. But we spiritually are retarded and try to do it in the spiritual. Are you still with me? Yes. You see, our lack of understanding about spiritual things, what does it do? It does assume we make the wrong decision and we think we are doing the best, when instead we really miss it. If we go to the Word and we go to the Word and see, you know, what do I have to do in that situation? Here it says very clearly. So when we found ourselves in that spot And we see ourselves vacillating, going back and forth. Oh, you have to do this. No, I'm going to do that. No, the other thing. Forget it. You don't know what you're doing. That's why you're going all over the place. You need direction. And Jesus make us in such a way that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. If we are, you know, born of God, you know, if we had the Holy Spirit speaking to us and bringing us where? To all truth. So he's going to give us the truth. You know, God doesn't give you a lie. Now, there are other voices inside ourselves that we have to recognize. And we recognize better and better with experience. Okay. We can trust ourselves. That's the bottom line. Because we don't know too much, especially about spiritual things. But the more we put the Bible inside ourselves, the more we allow the truth of God to operate in us, the more we know the truth, and the truth set us free from the mistakes, the error, the confusion, and all the other stuff that are generally operating in men's and women's mind. Are you still with me?
Yes.
So we had to do, we had to be careful not to get into that place in which we are double-minded. If you are double-minded, okay, man is unstable in all his way. That's the last verse in James 1:8. You see, you are going to be unstable. You are not going to be able to make any progress. You want instead to be able to move forward and succeed in the things you start. Especially in these days. Okay. Now, even if we get direction from the Lord, if we go to the Word, if we pray, if we ask God to give us direction and listen to it, okay, we are still in this world. We are still exposed to lots of junk. Just turn on the TV, read the newspaper, go around the street. Doesn't matter where you are. The world is a mess. Okay. And this is why we have to be careful about what we are exposed to. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible about that, and we have to be picky, selective about that. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, says, you know, be not deceived. See, it's easy to be deceived about that. Bad company ruins good morals. So it doesn't matter, you know, what your ideas are. If you go and mix with other people that have bad morals, that's what you're going to get, because by osmosis, we just are assimilated. We just are exposed to that, and so that association produces assimilation, you know, and then that produces finally the wrong action, the wrong behavior. Okay, there are plenty of scriptures, but you know, even taking one of the scriptures in Psalm 1, I was talking about, you know, becoming undefeatable, becoming successful in the things we do. This is God's plan for us. We had to believe that, we had to understand that, and we had to allow that to happen, because it's not going to happen. God doesn't do things by himself. God wants our participation. God expects us to be listening, to have a relationship with him, so that we can do the things that he suggests us. He doesn't force, you know, if you want to go to hell, he let you go. He doesn't interfere with your decision, because he respects your decision. Because he gave you the ability to choose between one thing and another, and expect you to do it properly. And when you do it properly, he rewards you. Otherwise, he has no base to reward you. Are you still with me?
Yes.
See, that's important to understand. We have a part in fulfilling God's plan for our life. It just doesn't happen. God doesn't, you know, the wrong ideas in some Christian circles. Okay, God is in control, and so he determines everything is going on. No, no, no. You have complete freedom. You can choose whatever you do, and according to what you do, you're going to reap. That's one of the spiritual laws that one should learn right away as one, you know, is exposed to the truth. Anyway, let me continue here. Okay. Even in Psalm 1, talk about this question of being careful about what we are exposed to. You know, the first verse says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. I mean, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And they say, you know, and that's the result of what doing that. You know, they just, you know, you're going to get religious. No. It says, and he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And he yields fruit in his season. And his leaf does not wither. And all he does shall prosper. All he does shall prosper. See, that's a way to be prosperous. And with that doesn't mean that you have a billion in the bank. Means that everything, you are going to have a life that is going to, you are going to be happy, going to be satisfied, you've been fulfilled, and you are not going to have problems. The more you do that, the more you are going to experience that as well. Okay. Now, I'll give you another scripture because, you know, this is a bit general. In Philippians chapter 3, it gives us even a more specific instruction about our association. Okay. It says, verse 2, chapter 3 of Philippians, beware of dogs. He's not talking about the one that barks. Okay. In the Middle East, especially in the past, maybe even today, okay, dogs were really free in being in the, going in the country, had no owners. They were going around eating garbage, eating everything that goes around, even dead body, and so they were considered unclean. See, in Rome, even in the past, in Cave Canis, you know, it says, be careful about the dog. You know, it was written on all the entrance of all the houses when they had a dog inside, because the dog were trained to attack people that were coming in. Here is not what he's talking about. The words are exactly the same. So, you know, the implication, you know, as a, you know, trained dog to attack you is going to be dangerous. This is just as dangerous. You know, the dogs here is really, the meaning is somebody that is impure, somebody that is impudent man, an unbeliever, basically. In fact, in some countries, like even, you know, in Muslim, call dogs the unbelievers, the one that, including Christians. Even today. Now, we continue. So beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Okay, that's the second thing. So this is the same as Psalm 1, the way I read before. Okay. And be aware of the mutilation. Oh, this introduces another element here. Okay, what is the mutilation? Well, actually, you can see later on it talks about the circumcision. So why should be we aware of? What he's talking about specifically, okay, he's talking about that the one that thinks that they're going to be righteous, they can have a relationship with God by the physical thing that they do, that means they are religious, because that's what religions try to do. You know, impose activities to make you spiritual. This is not what Jesus came for. Jesus changed completely the whole picture. He referred all the time to our spiritual condition, our position that we have inside, not outside. Okay, what I was saying before, you know, worship him in spirit and in truth, not in religious ceremony. Now, okay, what the basis of our righteousness, the basis of our victory, the basis of our strength is what Jesus did on the cross. That has a spiritual impact on us. And here Paul can take a clear position against those like the Jews and the Pharisees that were looking just at the physical thing instead of dealing with things in a spiritual way. Okay. Continuing, the following verse explained that a bit more. Say, we are the circumcision, instead of before I call it the mutilation, now I call it the circumcision, which is the same thing, who worship God in the spirit, okay, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, the confidence in the flesh, what he's talking about, you know, confidence in their own ability, in the things that they think, in the things, you know, the flesh is nothing else, the way of thinking and the mentality and the approach that we take as we learn things from the world, from the physical, from our senses. Okay, that thing is not the things that we have confidence on. Okay, but our confidence is really the attitude that we have, you know, the rejoicing in Christ Jesus worshiping God in spirit. And through that way I said before. Are you with me yet? So that's a question to say, you know, we have to change our attitude, the way we look, the perception of the world around us. Okay. So it goes on, says, verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he has confidence in the flesh, I more do. Okay. And then goes on and makes a long list of the things that he could boast about. Though I am also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that may have confidence, I'm more so. Circumcised, talking about circumcision again, the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, I mean, just sticky, you know, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I mean, he was old gunwale there. Okay. Concerning righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. That means he was doing everything that according to the law should be done. Okay. So you see, I could boast about all these things because, I mean, God should like me. Because I'm so good. That's what he thought? That was his attitude? Absolutely not. Okay. But what things were gained to me, these are counted loss for Christ. You see, that's what is important. So we had to make a decision. See, that's the decision that determines faith. See, if we want to have faith, we had to make this decision. And faith is the ability to be strong and stand on the word of God and bring, you know, the promises to God into reality in our life. It says, yet indeed I count all this loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So you see, all the things was a loss, okay? For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So I give up all these things he was boasting about because for them was a loss, was just an hindrance to be able to get what God wanted from him. Okay, goes on even more. And count them as rubbish. You know, actually the word there is manure. Okay? So, it's, you know, count them as manure, all this stuff that everybody goes boasting around, education, you know, money, education, you know, the family you come from, all this other stuff. He said, they're garbage. Okay? That I may gain Christ. That's what makes the difference. See, when we connect with the Lord. We get something that is better than all this stuff put together, that is far superior in terms of the impact that it's going to have in our life, including your education, your money, your anything else. You know, you can be feeling having a rotten life with all that stuff. But when you have the Lord, you have a good life. No matter if you even don't have anything. But he will take care of that if you use some wisdom. You know, if you have crazy ideas, then different story. Okay? So the idea is this. Your new position that we should take, and this is a spiritual position, that we gain in Christ, is going to change everything in our life. You see, our position that we take internally is going to have an effect externally. It's going to change everything we experience in the world, because we are not anymore bound by our flesh and by our understanding and by our ideas and by our confusion and the confusion that is around us. But we have an inner direction that brings us into all truth, that shows us the things that are right and the things that are going to produce blessing for us. Okay. It says, and so this is really the new position that we gain when we are in Christ. In Christ is when we have given up all this stuff and says, you know, no. What I care is know him. Okay. And so it says, and found in him. See, you are there now, okay? You are there and you are going to have some impact in your life from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's not behavior modification here. This is empowerment from the inside that enables you to do exploit, great things, right decision, be successful, okay? Because he knows better than you. Okay, be found in him, not having my own righteousness. You see, you don't go to God, like, oh, I have done some, you know, I've done this and the other things. This is your righteousness, doesn't get anywhere with God. No matter how much you do, God is not impressed. The only thing that impresses God is your faith in him. That's what it says. Ephesians, in Hebrews chapter 6, you know, believe that he is, and it is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They shall. That's the way to please. That's the only way to please God. Okay. So, found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. I mean, doing, following all the rule and the commandment and the things. Okay, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So you see, God imparts us righteousness just because we trust in him. And that means, you know, it's not just an internal thing. This also is an external thing, something that can be seen because our behavior changes, not because we are trying to follow the law, it's because naturally, that's what we are, righteous, in right standing with God. Okay. This is what's said in many other places, but for example, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, says very clearly, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means, you know, has done that decision that I'm talking about. Everything garbage. The only thing I care is, you know, knowing him. And knowing him, let me go back. I'm just skipping through stuff. You know, doing him is not a question. I heard about Jesus. I just read a bit of the Bible. Knowing him, you know, means, you know, this is, you know, ginosko, that is experiential knowledge. I know him because I'm with him all the time. The same word is used when two people get married. They know each other. And for many other things, when actually there is a physical experience, and, you know, even in the flesh, the experience is there for, you know, knowing a person. You don't know a person, you know, just by, you know, that is your name, and you know the person. No, you had to be with them, be, you know, spending time with them, interacting with them, having a relationship, and then you're going to know it. You're going to know who they are like. Okay, so that's important to understand. Okay, that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. It doesn't say, you know, that you are changed because you are trying to follow the law. It means that God, you know, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay? Now all things are of God. That means, you know, it's God creates you a new person. You are not the same person anymore. There is something that takes place inside you that your inside is not the same anymore. Okay? And it's line up with him. Okay? All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And this is really, you know, the reconciliation means, you know, where there was difference. There was a conflict between us and God, between the way we felt and the way God feels. Now, the thing is reconciled, is coming together. Okay? And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we show that to others. So the implication of that, you see, that decision of considering, see, those things, the fleshy things that I was listing before, okay, are the things that are important for most people in the world. That's what they care about. Okay, but so to make that decision is not necessarily an easy thing to do. That's the big step that he's calling us to take. Okay, making that step, making that decision, start to trust God instead of all these other things. That doesn't mean that, you know, you don't do anything else, but means simply that what your focus is, the priority, the highest value that you have is your relationship with God, to know him and to follow him. All the other things become secondary. When that happens, you see, if you cut yourself off from the influences of the world, then you are going to be filled with the new creation that he puts inside yourself and is empowered by God and is not the same person that was there before. See, that person is there. God created a new person. That's the greatest miracle that can happen. So that when that happens and is real, and somebody makes that decision and recognizes that God is the only source that can, you know, be fulfilling them, a change takes place on the outside and it starts to appear almost immediately. And it's not, you know, all the way, but just they start to learn how to walk in this new existence. And they start growing in this dimension. As they go to the Word, and the Word start ministering to them, give them understanding so that they can understand where their heart want them to be. Are you with me? Okay, so this is what has to happen. See, but so essentially, you know, their behavior is going to change. One of the things that you notice almost right away, you know, if they really had this experience, their language change. Okay, that possibly is the thing that becomes, you know, more evident. Before they was swearing every second word, and now, you know, they're clean. But that's the one that, you know, everybody can see, but there are many other things that you don't see that are even much deeper and better than that. Because you don't want to be touching unclean things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we start experiencing from that, you know, going back to Philippians chapter 3 and going to verse 10, okay, the result of this change, this the result of this decision that produces faith in you, releases something, the power of faith. Okay, in a special way. See, and continue here, you know, his desire. And not only is his desire, but actually, you know, increasing amount of this, says that I may know him. Okay, knowing Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, to the fullness, that I may know him. And doesn't just stop there. And the power of his resurrection. You see, that is what is what's starting to be manifested. The power is dunamis in Greek. It actually means, you know, the supernatural power. It's not anymore natural strength that you have inside you, but this is supernatural strength that comes directly from me, the same power that raised him from the dead. That was some power. He was already dead for 3 days. Okay, so there is great power that is going to be manifesting, and the fellowship of his suffering. I mean, the fellowship of his suffering, you know, I'm not going to go into the detail now because there is a lot of doctrine about the doctrine of suffering in Christianity that's completely off, you know, but it takes too long to talk about today, maybe next week, next Sunday. The fact is, you know, the fellowship of his suffering, fellowship, the word fellowship, you know, is really a word that koinonia, but, you know, the idea is a partnership, the communion, I mean, communion, they come together. You see, we come together with his suffering, and it's not our suffering. He suffered for us so that we don't need to suffer. That's why he did it. So that we don't need to go through the punishment for the things you have done. Okay? Okay. And be conformed to his death. You see, the conforming to his death, you know, he gave up to the worldly thing, to the fleshy things. That's what we have been doing. That's what we did. And so as we did that, what happens, he will start experiencing the same power that he received, maybe in a smaller degree, according to the degree in which we deal with the flesh. You know, the power working within, the resurrection power, manifested in us, enabling us to achieve the things that are needed for us, to fulfill our life, to fulfill our destiny. So, what I'm telling you is this. That decision to change our values and our priorities in what is important, what we care for, what we boast about, from the fleshy qualifications to the spiritual position that we have in Christ, releases in us the power of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Okay, there is nothing, this is supernatural. It's not a natural thing. See, that decision put us in a completely ball game, in a new dimension of living in which we start living according to the spiritual dimension rather than the physical dimension. And it's the spiritual dimension which is much more powerful than the physical dimension that start taking over in our life, and we are going to start manifesting that power in the way we do, in the way we act, in the way we think, in the way we succeed in the things that we are doing. Just that single decision. You see how much power is released just by taking that step. Why do we hold on so dearly to that manure when we can have the glory of the resurrection power? See, but unless we are trained and understand these things, we are never going to make those decisions. Are you with me? So that's why, you know, we had to realize, you know, it's not just a question of giving up everything. It's getting everything. But we had to go it the right way. If we do it to get everything, we are not giving up anything. Are you still with me? So we have to understand that you cannot, go after these two things at the same time. You have to be single-minded, seeking to know Him and to be in Him. And when you are single-minded, what happens, all these other things become secondary, and what you have to do, you do, but, just big deal anyway. But then you start experiencing something that is completely different, and you are going to start to see the power of God manifested in your life to propel you in ways that you could never imagine before. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is not natural power, not your natural strength. This is supernatural strength that is imbued in you, is given you so that you can overcome. The resurrection power. Continuing following verse, says that by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Now, here in this case, he's talking especially about the rapture when, all the people are going to be transformed into a new body. But the point is, we start experiencing in advance what is going to happen there. And if we don't experience it now in advance, I don't even think we are going to experience it later. Because it's not because He comes. It's because we are ready. Anyway, all right. So, these benefits are not just for when we are going to go to heaven. We experience them right now. Right now, we see that power that is extraterrestrial operating in us. We don't need to be waiting for the green man's, but we have it. So, and this is, the Bible is full of indication that this is what we can expect. Okay? And God is not a liar. He's speaking the truth. And really, the one that summarizes everything I said up to now is really, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen." That means, they're done. So be it. To the glory of God through us. So you see, we bring glory to God for the manifestations that we have down on earth right now. Because everybody that can figure it out can see, how can you do that? And this is not just miracles that we can evidently do, but there is, everything that we do is going to take a different connotation. Jesus said it in the gospel himself in Matthew chapter 6. Okay. It says, "Do not worry. Therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat, and what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. For after all this, the Gentile, everybody seeks. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things." So you see, that's the thing. Sometimes people go to God and, go with the whole list of the shopping list of stuff that you're going to try to get from God. Before you open your mouth, He knows your list more better than you do. And actually, He has a completely different priority in that list. Because He knows what you really need. And sometimes you really don't know what you need. Okay? But He does. He knows better than yourself than you. Let me continue. "But seek first the kingdom of God." Okay? "And all this and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worry about itself, its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, the idea is not saying, you know, don't worry for tomorrow, don't think, you know, just don't plan anything. This is not what God is saying there. It's just, you know, people think, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, I'm going to think I'm going to be crazy, I'm going to do the crazy things today. This is not what God is saying there. Okay. What he's saying really there is he's going to be taking care of us, but you can use, you have to use your brain and do properly things, because God is not a non-planner. God is not against us planning. God is the greatest planner that has ever been invented, if you can say that. Okay, he planned everything from the beginning. You know, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. And he plans everything. Everything is organized to the perfect timing. Yet everybody can make their own decisions. How can you figure that out? Well, he can. See, he doesn't think like you or me. In Jeremiah 29:11 says very clearly, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." It doesn't say, you know, you're going to be blown up because you are not a good person. Now, you know, you have to remember that what, you know, Jeremiah the prophet said that and was speaking for God. The Jews were in captivity, okay, in Babylon. And so they were in captivity, so they were, you know, not really in a good place. And they had all the reason to think, oh my goodness, you know, here is no good, it's pretty bad. And yet God is telling them, no, 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 I have a good plan for you. All right? And says, then, but see, the question is, we have a part in getting the answer. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Back to the same story about the heart. Okay, the whole, God doesn't want a piece of you. Doesn't want just your mind. Doesn't want just your time. Doesn't want just your will. He wants your heart. Because that is really you. And so we had to for him to move in our behalf, we had to give to him our heart. But when we do that, then he comes in our heart and create that miracle that makes us a new person, a new one. A one that in which the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is starting to manifest. Hallelujah. So let me summarize and close with this. God wants us to walk with him so that he can bless us, not to constrain us. Because he knows that we don't walk with him, we end up messing ourselves up. Okay, so he wants us. Okay, and for that reason, you know, we have to, you know, settle our heart so that it is not wavering. Okay, we have to go to the word, we have to have the understanding, we have to get the position, we have to make decisions, and we have to take it, you know, place there. Okay. And so when we do that, we are going to have assurance. We are going to feel assurance. We are going to feel that we can believe what God said. Okay. Okay. So, but we have to protect ourselves because we are in this world. The world is full of wrong ideas, wrong thoughts, wrong examples that we are going to be sucked in. And thoughts are going to start with thoughts. We are going to accept the thoughts. We are, first of all, they're going to turn us off. But then after a while, we get used. We don't turn us off anymore. And after a while, we get back into that. So we have to be careful what we associate with. Okay. Then, you know, we have to, the other things that really the critical part that we make a decision, a strong, determined decision that the only thing we are after is Him. Okay. Is to know Him. And when we start to have that experience, then we are going to also experience the result in us, which is the power of resurrection operating in us, enabling us to overcome sin, overcome temptation, overcome problems, overcome all type of problems, physically, mentally, emotionally, everything. And give us victory. So God's plan is a good plan. Won't you say? I mean, that seems to me a good deal. I mean, to just say, you know, well, I don't know. I don't know what... you know, somebody that doesn't have any, either you don't believe it, then it's a question of unbelief, and that's the problem. That is too good to be true. And we have to stop thinking the way the world thinks and start believing that what God said is true, and then we start lining ourselves up bit by bit so that we start thinking more and more like Him, and we give less and less value to these other things and give value to the things that God values. That means our soul prospering so that we think right, we feel right, we want right, we decide right, and then our heart is in the right place. And when all those things are together, the power of God just flows through the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to our spirit, through our heart, and manifest itself in our behavior and more, and our success. Amen. Are you still with me? Should we pray about that? Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the plan you have for us. Good plan for a future and a hope of good thing. Lord, I thank you that you made it possible for me to overcome my own weaknesses, my own peresh, everything that hinders me to be closer to you. And I can walk with you, and I can receive from you all the promises, for they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Let me seek to know Jesus better and be transformed by His resurrection power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.